Well, hello and happy weekend to you. Frank Rush here. Welcome back to Focus on Community. It's good to have you along today. Don't forget, if you miss any part of today's program, you'd like to listen to it again, or you just don't have time to sit with us here for the next couple of minutes and listen to the whole thing, you can always download it or stream it as a podcast. Just head on over to our website, scroll down a little bit, and you'll find Focus on Community on our webpage. Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute is our guest today. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not bad. All things kids related when it comes to, well, practically everything with your group, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. It's the blessing of a broad mission, I guess, that anything to do with kids in Indiana, birth to adulthood, and their differing definitions of adulthood, is part of our mission at IYI.
Do you kind of feature yourself as one of those groups that, since not every parent can talk to every other parent, even in their own community, even in their own kid's school, that you're kind of there to kind of help make sure that all the information is out there, is shared, to maybe inform people more than they could get on their own?
Absolutely. And to have it be reliable, right? To do some of that legwork on the back end so that you can quickly get some good information that's relevant to our kids in Indiana, right? I mean, there's tons of great information out there in data, but to have a central source that can kind of synthesize that, make it hopefully easy to use and understand, that's one of our great services that we hope to provide.
You're really not there to provide answers, but you are. If you get what I mean by that, you're not there to tell people what to do, but you're there to try to inform them over what the general consensus and the information tells you now, right?
Yeah, if you have good data, right, if you have good information, then you can channel that through your own lens and your own personal experience and what's meaningful to you. But it's hard sometimes to make those informed decisions if you have to spend forever researching and trying to locate that data. So a lot of times the data is pretty clear, but sometimes a little more vague, right? And there's a lot of different interpretations. But regardless of that, we present the data as it is, and you can draw your conclusions from there.
Well, now imagine that. Reliable information in today's society. Who'd have thunk it?
We're trying in our little corner of our mission, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, one of the things, kids are kind of back in school now, whether they be masked or not, driving or riding a bus. However, kids are back in school, and in some cases here in the state, virtually. But for the most part, everybody's back in their buildings. And that means all the typical things that go along with school are going on again. And one of those is not just studying, but also youth sports to go along with academics and all that. And you guys have kind of been taking a look at youth sports and kind of getting back in the swing, right?
Absolutely. We know that there's a lot of kids that are back on, the track, the field, the court, whatever that is right now. And we're just highlighting, again, bringing up some of those facts that remind folks that while we often think of the physical benefits, and those are tangible and real, of kids being involved in sports, there are also some other benefits that the data supports that we might not think about that probably post-COVID may be even more important than ever.
Really? All right. Well, fill us in on some numbers here. Tell us what you guys are learning. First of all, did you go out and just actually conduct this study yourself, or are you looking at various different studies and trying to get a general consensus of all of them and then putting it together?
Great question. We are not primary researchers, so we don't have people running out there gathering it. However, what we do is vet those reliable sources. Often they are states, to get the Indiana data, state government entities, right? And we can talk about a little bit of data specific to our state. And then we synthesize that together to hopefully make it easy to follow and understand. So as far as sports go, as far as that physical fitness, we know that kids who play sports are 10 times less likely to be overweight or obese, which unfortunately is a growing problem for Indiana kids. We know that they also report lower levels of depression, less smoking, less drug use, less teen pregnancy, and less reported risky sex. So all of those physical things are good for our kids if they're engaged in sports. And of course, those are on average for kids. That doesn't mean every single kid is going to get all of those benefits. But on average, those are some of the physical, pretty straightforward benefits of engaging in school sports.
One question kind of pops into my head, and I'll admit it's more of a personal type experience because the fact when I was in school, which was one or two years ago. I was never a sports type person. I was never athletic. I was born with three left feet. And you know, I mean, coordination to do that stuff, just and to be honest with you, I just didn't care. But
sure.
But I guess in my own way, I did my own thing as far as I was in band. I was a musician, and you know, so I had an interest outside of, you know, dribbling a ball. So, but I guess, is it just do something, or were we just looking just strictly at athletics?
Well, a lot of this data is specific to athletics. That being said, we know that kids being engaged and active. So whether that's, like you said, in band, whether that's in performing arts, you know, those, that's, there are huge benefits to that as well. And so again, we want kids to be, feel part of a community. We want them to be active. We want them to feel like they found where they fit, right? And if you fit on the sports team, that's great. And if you fit in band, that's also great. So it doesn't have to be just a sports team. We just happen to know that this time of year, there's a lot of uptake there and there's some good data to support it.
And are we actually getting back into sports now? I mean, because obviously, like you said, post-pandemic, well, we would like to think we're really post-pandemic, but it's still kind of going around, and there's still some schools affected by it. So are we really getting back into the swing of this, or are we still kind of very lightly tipping our toe in the water?
Well, it varies. I'm sure you can see that in the schools around you. But we do know people are really eager, kids, parents, teachers, you know, those sports activities often, again, not just the players on the field, but they're also unifying for that school community. A lot of folks might go to that football game who aren't actually playing on the field, right? So it can be a real unifying positive engagement. So we know that in Indiana, over 60% of kids ages 6 to 17 do participate in sports. So it's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty sizable percentage. Kind of not surprisingly, male students participate more than female, 69% compared to 52%. And Indiana is second only to Illinois as far as the number of students who participate in sports.
Do we know why that is? I mean, is it just because, okay, obviously, and we could sit here and have a debate about this all day long. I mean, there might be more male sports than female sports. And I will bring up the example of football. You know, there, I don't know of any of, you know, girls' football teams. I'm sure there's some out there. But, I mean, is it just because of the, you know, the ability to take part, or is it because, I don't know, maybe the girls just aren't as interested? I don't know. What do you know?
You know, we have some friends at ISHAA as well as the NCAA who probably know that better than I do. But I think most likely, Frank, you're hitting on something there. Think about how many kids are on a football team. It's enormous, right? Versus basketball teams where there's a girls basketball team and a boys basketball team. Tennis teams are the same. Football, you can get a whole bunch of kids on that team. And so it may not be all that many different sports. I think a lot of the schools have really, with Title IX and all of that, are really paying attention to make sure there's kind of a similar number of teams. But most often, some of those teams for the male students are bigger, are just structured to hold, you know, to accept and to have more kids on that team.
And how do the kids really benefit from being on the teams? I mean, obviously there's the competition factor there because, you know, yep, we all want to get together and just pound the tar out of the other guy. yeah, you can sit back there and giggle about it all you want, but that's really what it is. We want to just mop the floor with them. So, you know, is it that, or is it where we're actually cultivating leaders by getting somebody who actually kind of pull a head out front and get everybody to go along? I mean, what are they getting?
Yep. There's some of that communication skills, obviously, right? Negotiation. While everybody does love to win, we also know that there's great benefit, right, as maturing adults and as we're helping teens develop, to think about what happens when you don't win. And are you a good loser? Can you process through that? Can you learn through that? All of those are great employability skills going forward. We also know that on average, student athletes have higher grade point averages. They do better on tests. They have higher rates of attendance, and they have lower dropout rates. So again, that's a lot of that connectivity components. Like they have a reason to show up. They feel like they're in something bigger than just themselves. And again, that could probably, I'm sure it probably does translate to other activities like band or performing arts or drama club or whatever that might be.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this now. This will probably be a question you won't want to answer, but with and, you know, there's people sitting out there listening to us right now going, yeah, but what about the participation trophy sports? I mean, let's face it. We've had this thing for a while, and I'm sure you've heard it because it's been brought up all over the place. Oh, well, we don't want anybody to lose. We just want them to all feel good and get a trophy. Well, you know, I mean... You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do. And I think that, again, when we're talking about learning skills and sports being an avenue to do that, some of those skills are processing defeat, processing that maybe you don't get the amount of playing time they think you deserve. And how do you teach kids that you have to take the good with the bad, right? If you can have that same discussion with whether you call it helicopter parents or snowplow parents or whatever that might be,
yeah.
You know, there is benefit to kids' struggle. There is benefit to them learning and being equipped and having to learn to figure those things out for themselves, because they're going to have to do that as adults. So, you know, rather than saying everything was great today, you know, if you take a big loss, right, it's beneficial for kids to have the conversation of what could or should we have done better as a team, and then to have your kid even think about what could or should have I done as an individual contributor that will help us be better next time.
And, you know, you brought up something interesting, which is kind of where I was going with this next, when you said, you know, when you have that conversation, and that is team sports, athletics in general, it's not just about what the kids get at school with their coach, with their teammates. It also has a lot to do with what the parents teach and how they support their kids at home away from the team, and kind of instill upon them what they need to know and how they need to deal with the team activity when they're with the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And are you reinforcing, you know, if your student athlete comes home and they're really frustrated and they're blaming everything in the world on their teammates or their coach, you know, how do you help reframe that and say, wait a second, right? Like, are you showing up as your best self? Are you trying your hardest? Like, there are, you know, it's, we often talk about internal and external locus of control. There are things in the world you can't control, and there are things you can. And so teaching students to really focus on their own betterment, their own self-performance, and how do they contribute to that shared collective goal, again, is, it takes some framing, takes some consistency, can be really hard to do, particularly sometimes when they're right about some of those other challenges, right? Like they may be perfectly right that whoever had more playing time isn't as skilled of an athlete, but they're, you know, the reality is they still need to learn how to deal with that. They still need to learn how to process through that, and as parents, adults, family members, neighbors, whatever, we can help them with that.
Maybe one of the things they need to focus on too, and I'm kind of guessing, and I imagine this is brought up in a lot of cases, those kids that are doing pretty well, maybe to instill upon them that they need to take the ones that aren't doing so well and kind of help pull them along.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that understanding that if you happen to be the best fill-in-the-blank football player or tennis player out there, that doesn't mean that you're exceptional in every area. So while that may be an area of strength for you, let's acknowledge that everybody has areas of strength. So the kid who may be struggling on the football field may be better in science class than you are. So, you know, again, acknowledging that and looking for ways to celebrate and uplift those great benefits that everybody has. It's also a really good lesson to learn. Like, you may be the best football player ever. However, don't, you know, have some humility and understand that the kid sitting there on the bench is who you need to be tutoring you in chemistry, right? They may be able to contribute another way.
See, that means you got to be careful. Don't make fun of the other guy because he's not quite as good as you are in some things, because...
You betcha. betcha. You betcha. You know, the other thing that is, I think, really important, and we need to almost have in concert and have this conversation around this, is making sure that as parents or family members, that we're also carrying that message as far as sports go. You know, we hear time and time again from particularly the coaches, but also the students, saying that there's so much pressure for whatever score the kids, you know, the kids feel like the parents are reliving their quote-unquote glory days through them, that there's this unhealthy performance pressure that makes the kids stressed out and makes them not want to participate. And we have all the ability in the world to control that and to model for them what a healthy interaction is. You know, most kids say they want to play sports because they want to have fun. And we need to make sure as adults we're not taking that fun away from it.
It's interesting that you started down that road with this conversation, because that's exactly what was in my mind to go to next if you didn't. You know?
We've been working together a while, Frank, and it may be getting scarier.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, because honestly, that's one of the things I think parents need to realize, is that they could be their kid's best friend or they could be their worst enemy, depending upon how they act. And like you said, the kids want to have fun, but there's also some kids out there, and I've seen this happen over the years, to where there's kids that they wanted to have fun, but they also hated going to games and they didn't want to go to games because of their parents.
You bet. You bet. And there's a lot of that. We hear things such as the sideline coaching, you know, that the parent is screaming out from the side, do this, do that. I mean, there's a coach on the field for a reason, right? So we need to step back and let that coach, you know, again, whether you agree with it or not, if you're not that coach, that's not your job. And so making sure you're not sideline coaching, making sure you're not reliving your own sports days or experiences, or that there's not this unrealistic really big focus on college scholarships, because again, we have some good data there that says only about 2% of high school athletes are awarded any type of athletic scholarship. So that's partial, let alone full scholarship. So the idea that you need to keep the pressure on your kids so they can get a college scholarship probably isn't realistic.
Well, and I'll say this, because you probably can, but it's like, well, you got to remember, first of all, the coaches, they're human, so they're not perfect. That you'll probably agree
yeah,
with. My second point would be, then why aren't you out there?
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
There's openings in a lot of places, so might I suggest you take all that free spare time you have, you know, and that's just right. From me on my end of it. But I know you guys probably have a whole lot of info and research and stuff on your website too, right?
We do, IYI.org. In fact, there's a whole little data brief on sports and youth well-being specific to what we were just talking about.
Yeah, make some interesting reading. So the next time you decide you're a little bored, you're up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., can't sleep, Tammy's article will help you out. It'll inform you and maybe even let you catch an extra wink.
Thanks. I'm not sure exactly how to take that, but I hope some folks will find it a benefit.
Oh, it was only meant as a compliment. You know that, right?
Indeed. Of course, I will gladly accept it that way.
Tammy Silverman with Indiana Youth Institute. It's IYI.org. They've got all kinds of good stuff on there that you might want to literally go take a look and read it, because you'll find a lot of very useful information there. That's it for this week. Again, everything available for you on our website is a podcast. We will see you next week.